Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled The Steadfast Love of God.
Genesis chapter 24.
Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his house, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live, but will go to my country and to my kindred and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came?" Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you. You shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all kinds of choice gifts from his master. And he set out and went to Aram-Naharaim, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water. It was towards evening, the time when the women go out to draw the water. And he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. I am standing here by the spring of water, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. Let the girl to whom I shall say, 'Please offer your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." Before he had finished speaking, there was Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, coming out with her water jar on her shoulder. The girl was very fair to look upon, a virgin whom no man had known. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please, let me sip a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw for your camels also until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, "Tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." She added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder and a place to spend the night." The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the way to the house of my master's kin." Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about all these things.
1 Timothy and chapter 6, the first 10 verses.
All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit from their services are believers and dear to them. These are the things you ought to teach and urge on them. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
Some of you are using an app called Lexio 365. And today there is a little bit about who actually Valentine or Saint Valentine was. So I don't know how much you know about the story, but he lived in the 3rd century AD. And on this day in 269 AD, he was martyred in Rome. It's not very clear how and why, but as far as we might think went, he was killed for preaching the gospel to the emperor of the time, which was Claudius, and secretly marrying Christian couples. And there is a legend that records that he healed the blindness of his jailer's daughter, and knowing that he was about to be killed, then left her a note simply signed, "Your Valentine." And so for many centuries, Valentine now has been venerated as a hero of love, and in particularly the romantic love. The interesting fact that he was himself never married. He was an unmarried man who, for most probably marrying couples behind the back of a bishop or the emperor, and for preaching the gospel, was martyred. So I wanted to look at the passages and are there signs or a theme about love? And in our first passage, well, actually, it speaks about a kind of love, the best kind of love, which is the steadfast love of God. And we have this steadfast love and faithfulness expressed towards Abraham. We hear that Abraham is old and he's thinking about his son and he wants to give him a future. And in those days, meant to have his son marry a woman who would be from his tribe or his clan. And if you remember, God told Abraham to move from where he used to live and to go and to trust God for a new land. And he lands there, in the land of that will become Israel. And so he now sends a servant back to where he started and asks his servants to find a wife for his son there. It's very interesting how specific that servant ask God, and also how his faith is expressed and how God uses these servants to show that he's real and that he answers prayer. So here he says, "O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, grant me success today. Show steadfast love to my master Abraham." And he goes to a very precise description of what he would like to see as a sign that God is answering his prayer. He says, "I'll be standing here. There's going to be some woman coming and they will draw some water. Please show me the right one." And the way I'm going to see that is not only she will draw water for me, but she will also draw water for camels, for my camels. And it all happens according to his request. And we learn that Rebecca is a direct descendant of Abraham's brother, who married Milcah and had a son called Bethuel, and Rebekah is his daughter. A description of God's kindness and steadfast love towards Abraham. And then in our New Testament, we have the wrong kind of love. At the end, it says, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." So it's not that money is not important. It is very important. And at the moment, a lot of people might be very anxious because of lack of it. And the reality of price rises and energy costs that are on the rise. But here it's a different kind of love. It's to use religion, in a sense, to gain money and to gain reputations. The love of God should be a love that brings us into service to others. And I looked at here three kind of attitudes that shows the kind of love for God. The first attitude is an attitude of respect towards those who are above us. Paul says, if you are under the yoke of slavery, if you are in that position, regard your masters as worthy of all honor. And in particular, in the churches where the people of society were meeting nearly as equal, we would say, as brothers and sisters. And there might have been a desire from those who were under, those who had bosses, we could say today, to start demanding and start not respecting those who were above them. So we show love to God with our attitudes towards those who are above us and towards our attitudes towards what here it says, the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching in accordance with godliness. It reminded me what I talked about, the living word and the written word, and have an attitude of respect, really trying to hear what God says through his word and through the guidance of his Holy Spirit. And finally, by our attitudes towards material possession. The key word here is contentment, to be content with what we have. In those days, to have food and clothing was enough. Of course, might need a little bit more in our days to do the job God is calling us to do, but to have that idea of contentment. And I think for me, it's a lifelong journey to learn to be content. Content with what I have, content with my situation. We always think that the grass is greener on the other side. So how can we today learn to be content? And I think most probably it starts with the reality that God is love and that his steadfast love and his faithfulness is sure for us. And that should give us at least the start of peace and hope and contentment, that God is with us. And so I think it's very suited those words here about trusting in God, the God whose faithful love is a reality. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and be not wise in your own sight.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening. And may God be with you today.